you would like a copy of today's message, please call 337-238-0314 or visit our website at www.churchofjesuschristhop.org. Praise be to God to our co-founder, Pastor Annie Mulberry. Be blessed in Jesus' name until we meet again this same time next week.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
You've just tuned in to the outreach ministries of the Mount Calvary Baptist Church, located 320 Daspit Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. Reverend Ronnie Humphrey Sr. is the pastor. We are a church of the living word, preaching and teaching the word, thereby fulfilling God's command as stated in Mark 16:15 to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. At Mount Calvary Baptist Church, leading to others is the church's first priority. Now join Pastor Humphrey in a sermon already in progress.
amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We thank you right now for your grace and mercy. As we sing praise God, we thank you, Lord, that when we sing praises, blessings come down. Lord, I thank you right now for all that you brought my family and myself through. We thank you for this church, Lord, that you brought us over the hills and through the valleys. Now, Lord, as your word comes forth, I ask, Lord, that you make me your mouthpiece and your sounding board, so that I may say something to draw men, women, boys, and girls to you and not drive them away. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Giving honor to the Godhead, to the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, to our pastor emeritus in his absence, Dr. Huey Lawson, Reverend Rodney Lonix, who should be up also right about now, to Minister Cindy Humphrey, to all of you that are here with us, to the Smith family and Little Miss Asia, I say congratulations. Amen. Amen. You know, there are strange things that happen to you in God's ministry. And the more I do this, the more these things tend to happen. Sometimes life just doesn't react with a formula. You have to adapt and move on. Amen. The other day, while researching for today's sermon, had two sermons to get ready. I had to do one Friday, and also had to do one today. So I'm sitting at my computer desk, and I'm drawing a blank. I'm having writer's block. Can't seem to get anything done. Everything distracts me. Sometimes I can be locked in and a bomb can go off. Well, God forbid. Better not say that. Just joking, God. But anyway, I can be locked in and nothing will bother me. But other times, every little thing, you know, lucky, the family dog wants to go outside and use the bathroom. You know, he's scratching on my leg. You know, yes, everything distracted me. So finally, I lock in to what I'm going to talk to you about today. I lock in and I get halfway through it, and it starts to sound familiar in my mind. The theme is familiar. The words are familiar. The idea, the parallels are familiar. Finally, it hits me. I preached this sermon just last year. So I stop and I say, Lord, I preach this. Send me something else. But I couldn't get away from this one. The more I tried to move away from this one, the more I was locked back into this. Finally, God just said to me, just like one of you are talking to me, you're going to do this one again because Mount Calvary needs to hear this again. Amen. Say, don't worry about it. I say, Lord, somebody going to recognize it. It was just like, God said, don't worry about that. God said they recognize Genesis 1 and 1 when we read that. You know, they recognize John 3:16. We still read. God said, don't worry about that. You preach this one because of all that's been happening. Everything that's been going on, Mount Calvary needs to hear this again. So here we are. Here we are. The good thing about this is I won't have to spend too much time because y'all have heard this one recently. And I've got mountains of sermon information, mountains of reference material, literally probably by now thousands of sermons. Why God wanted me to do this one again, this soon, just last year, I don't really know. All I know is he told me to do it. So here we go. From your responsive reading, and this is something we do every third Sunday. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter and the 33rd verse reads like this. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. That's what he told me to say again. So our subject for today, tarry one for another. Obviously, there's something going on in Mount Calvary that I don't know about. Obviously, somebody is trying to put somebody down. Somebody's not paying attention to somebody else's needs. Somebody's overlooking somebody that's screaming out for help. Tarry one for another. Whatever's going on, God wants me to say this again. Paul writes in this passage in regard to the tone of the Last Supper. He gives it like the Lord gave him. Like I'm giving this to you like God gave it to me. Paul talks about gathering. Amen. We love to gather. Sometimes we don't gather for the right reasons. Sometimes we gather out of curiosity, out of something to gossip about. Amen. When I was a little boy, and I'm ashamed of this, if there was a fire in the neighborhood, everybody piled in their car and ran so they could see the fire. The fire truck couldn't even get down where the house was burning at because people were in the way. Folks wanted to see. Folks wanted to be curious. Amen. So we don't gather for the right reasons all the time, but we ought to be gathering out of love. Amen. We ought to be gathering out of fellowship. We ought to be gathering out of a sense of being with one another in the Lord. Amen? You see, it talks about tolerance also. Tarry is good for dealing with others when we exercise in faith. When we exercise in faith, it's good to tarry. Even in Bible study the other day, we were talking about tarrying in the Word. Just staying there a little while. Staying put. Amen. Tarrying can be good for helping others. Now, tarrying can be bad if you're waiting to get salvation. You don't want to tarry on that account. You don't want to tarry when it comes to coming to Jesus. Amen. You want to get in a hurry in that regard. Amen. Amen. But when we tarry for one another, it means that we're sharing each other's burdens, not sharing gossip, not sharing bad words. We're tarrying with one another to share in the Lord. We gain experience when we tarry. We gain enough experience to share with somebody else. Amen. Paul shares in 11:23 that what God gave him, he's going to give to somebody else. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Amen. That which also I delivered unto you. You know, we shouldn't want to give something that God doesn't give us. We ought to want to give what God gives us when we tarry, when we gather. And what God gives us is love and joy and peace, meekness, long-suffering, tolerance, temperance, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. But know what we want to give to somebody else when we tarry is foolishness. We want to give gossip. We want to give a hard time. We want to give discouragement. But that's not what tarrying means. We need to share in the spiritual gifts, the spiritual fruits. But instead, we want to share other things. Hebrews 13:16 says to do good and communicate. Do good and communicate, and God will be well pleased. In other words, when you're doing something that God tells you to do and you're enjoying doing it for the goodness of the Lord, communicate it to somebody else. Tell somebody else about the goodness of the Lord. Tell somebody else how they can be saved and secure. Tell somebody else how they can be relieved of life's burdens. When we tarry, we ought to tarry for a good reason. Now, our text is one verse, but it speaks loudly to us. The first part of it says, wherefore, my brethren, wherefore, my brethren. That shows compassion to all mankind. Huh? It didn't say brothers, said brethren. If it said brothers, that would leave out the sisters, right? But we know we can't do that. We can't get along without them. Amen. The genders cannot exist without one another. Amen. In God's business, we need one another. We just had Men's and Women's Day a couple of Sundays ago, and that shows that the cooperation between the genders is vital in the kingdom of God. We need one another. Paul teaches inclusiveness. Amen. When you come together, it's the next part. It doesn't say if we come together. It says when. Because sooner or later, somewhere, somehow, you're going to be in the presence of somebody else. Amen. Unless you live somewhere on a deserted island by yourself, there are going to be some times when you be in somebody's presence. And what you do in their presence is what counts. How you tarry with your brother is what counts. How you deal with your brother is what counts. Do you put him down or do you try to pick him up? Can I get a witness? Do you pull him out of the ditch or try to stomp him down further in the ditch? God said, tell you to tarry. Said, I don't care if you preached it before. Tell Mount Calvary to tarry. Amen. Tarry. Yeah. The next part says, after it says, when you come together, it then says, to eat. To eat. Now, we know we love eating. Amen. Amen. We eat plenty here at Mount Calvary. But Paul is not always talking about physical food. Can I get a witness? Amen. You see, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. Can I get a witness? So we need to digest some spiritual food every now and then. Amen. We can give food, but we can also give wisdom. We can also give doctrine. We can also give long suffering. That's the kind of things that we ought to be eating along with our physical food. Next thing says, after it says to eat, it says tarry. That's the meat of what we're talking about. Tarry one for another. Now, you notice it didn't say just tarry all together. Sometimes it doesn't take a huge crowd to tarry. It says one for another. Let me tell you something. When one person tarries for somebody else, and that person tarries for somebody else, that's how love gets spread about. You do something for one person, that person does something for somebody else. Pretty soon, five or six people have tarried. Tarry one for another. Now, y'all know we love to tarry in crowds. Can I get a witness? Amen. We love to tarry in concerts, like to hear good music. We love to tarry at the football game. Can I get a witness? Amen. We love to gather at each other's homes. We like to tarry at parties. We like to tarry at baby showers and weddings and anniversaries. All of that's fine and good. But that's not what the kind of tarry I'm talking about today. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about patience. I'm talking about somebody that's in need. And when you know they're in need, you ought to tarry for a little while. You ought to tarry one for another. And when you tarry one for another, God is pleased when you tarry one for another. Somebody's getting help. When you tarry one for another, you're doing what God told us to do. Can I get a witness? You see, salvation started when somebody tarried. Can I get a witness? Jesus tarried in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew he was about to get taken, but he tarried anyway. And when they came and took him in custody, he tarried with the soldiers. Later on, he tarried in Pilate's courtroom. Even though they were lying on him, even though they were talking about him, even though they were falsifying things, he tarried anyway. Can I get a witness? Later on, he tarried so he could get whipped down like a dog all night long. Could have got up from under that whip, but he tarried anyway. Every lick he took was for you and you and you. He tarried because he loved us. Later on, he tarried while he walked up Calvary's Hill. Isn't that right? People spit on him, tarried anyway. The soldiers kicked him, he tarried anyway. Dust coming from his face, tarried anyway. When they got him on the top of the hill, they nailed him on an old rugged cross. And they put that cross in a hole in the ground. And he tarried on that cross. He could have jumped down, but he tarried on the cross. He could have called time to a halt, but he stayed right there. He could have said, Lord, I'm not going to do this, but he stayed right there, tarried on the cross from the 6th to the 9th hour. Isn't that right? But in the 9th hour, oh, in the 9th hour, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. He died. He died. He died. But that ain't all. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Didn't have his name on it. He didn't own it. Somebody say, you can lay the Lord here. And he tarried Mount Calvary for 3 days. He tarried down in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. He did that for me. He did that for you and you and you and you. But early Sunday morning, he got up Mount Calvary with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. But he wasn't through tarrying. Somebody didn't believe that it was Jesus that got out of the grave. So he tarried for 40 days just to make sure everybody know, I'm back, I'm here. I said I would, and here I am. And then 40 days later, got on a cloud and went up to glory. And right now, he's tarrying on the right side of the Lord. Can I get a witness? Tarry, Mount Calvary. Somebody needs your help. Tarry, Mount Calvary.
Somebody's hungry. Terry, Mount Calvary. Somebody need a drink of water. Terry, Mount Calvary. Somebody's broke. Somebody's busted. And somebody's disgusted. Terry, one for another. Terry, one for another. And when you do that, when you do that, God is well pleased. Tarry one for another. Somebody might need more than a hug. Hugs are good. I like to get them. Somebody's in need. And I don't know who it is. But God wants me to tell you for the second time in about 9 months to tarry one for another. And when you tarry, you don't have to do it in front of everybody so everybody know what you did. See, you can tarry in secret. When you tarry just to get a good name, just so somebody can brag on you, that ain't the kind of tarrying I'm talking about. Tarry one for another. Tarry ye one for another. And right now, I offer you Jesus. The one who tarried for us. See, Jesus waited for us. He waited, he tarried because of us. All the things that he did for us. He tarried. I know none of us could tarry and get beat. Especially if we had that kind of power. If you had the power of Jesus, you reckon you let somebody beat on you all night? Oh, no. If you had the power of Jesus, would you let somebody put nails in your hand and your feet and pierce you in the side with a sword? If you could call down thunder, would you let somebody blaspheme your name? But that's why we're not Jesus. Because God knows that we couldn't stand it. Right now, I invite you to the one who tarried for us so we can tarry for somebody else. Why don't you stand, please? You might invite somebody down this aisle. I invite you to Jesus. Come on and tarry just a little while. Come on and tarry.
With words from my mouth, I love you.
You might come by letter, by Christian experience, as a candidate for baptism. But we all need the Lord. Amen. You're important to me. Bible says the most important commandment, love ye one another. Love your brother like you love yourself. I invite you to the Lord. Come on.
I pray for you.
I pray for you.
Pray for me. I love. I need you to survive. I won't.
Come on, somebody.
Harm you with words from my mouth.
I won't harm you with my words.
I need you to survive.
There might be somebody. This is your time. This is not my time. This time doesn't belong to me. I invite you to Jesus. I invite you to Jesus. I don't just invite you to Mount Calvary. I invite you to Jesus. There might be somebody. This is your time. And you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to tarry. We ain't gonna rush past this point. We're gonna tarry right here a little while. We're gonna tarry for you. Wherever you are, whoever you are, we're waiting on you. We're gonna tarry for you right here. Come on, somebody. Stay right here. We're not going anywhere. You're important.